Kings, so good to see you. And if you're visiting today, thank you so much for coming along. And we hope you'll be blessed. We apologize for the warmth in the place. And I know some people said we're not the coolest church on the block, but I didn't know they meant that. And this will be getting fixed on Wednesday. And so we're believing that next week it's going to be like an ice box in here. And you will need to bring wind sheeters, and you'll need to bring a rug because it's going to be so cool. And so this reminds me a lot actually about my family back in Tonga. When they go to church, they're always, you know, fanning that and that sort of thing. And so if you haven't filled out a connection card, that's okay. You can use it as a fan today. And also to use it as an opportunity to fan your neighbour. Any wives here want to be fanned by their husband today? This is a great opportunity, guys, to earn some brownie points and that sort of thing. So feel free to do that. And I won't be put off in any way. It reminds me of my relatives back in the islands. So it's so cool. We had a great month to start the year. We had a number of really awesome guest speakers, which was so good, and so thankful to them. And but today we're going to have a bit of home cooking, amen. And so if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 9 to 10. 1 Chronicles 4. At 9 to 10, and it says this: Now Jabez was more honourable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, Because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. I ask and pray. And I declare this prayer over our church this year. And I thank you, declare it over people's lives this year. I thank you and praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may remember a few weeks ago, I preached in the service here about on the prayer of Jabez. And it was an interesting prayer because it's a prayer that's kind of interspersed in the midst of the genealogies, where there's large chunks of scripture in 1 Chronicles where he simply talks about, you know, the genealogical line and says such and such begat such and such begat such and such. And right in the middle of it is this prayer. And then it just goes back to the genealogies. The fact that it's inserted in there tells me that there's something significant about it. Not only that, it also tells me that it's actually God's will for our lives. Because the Bible says that what Jabez asked for, God granted him what he requested. And so a few weeks ago, I spoke looking at each element of this verse, element of this prayer, talking about the things that we can ask God for, the things that we can believe God for to be outworked in our lives. What I want to do over the next 5 weeks is actually spend some time talking about each element and focusing upon each one. Because I believe these are things that are going to come to pass in people's lives. And I also believe these are things that are going to come to pass corporately in the life of our church. And so I want to talk about this over the next 5 weeks, spend a little bit of time on it. Next week is actually Vision Sunday, and it ties in beautifully on the second part, what I'm going to talk about. But today I want to talk about the first element. And the first element is this. Jabez said, Lord, I pray that you would bless me indeed. That's incredible. He asked God to bless him, and the Bible says God granted him his request. What that tells me is that God doesn't mind you being blessed. I don't know about you, but there's times when I would find it difficult to pray that, almost feel a little bit guilty about praying that. But the reality is that the Bible says that God actually granted his request, and God doesn't mind that for our lives. And so today I want to talk to you about the blessing of God. I want to talk to you today about things that the blessing of God actually gets you. And I want to focus on that element today because you can believe to experience the blessing of God in your life. Now, I'm just going to read from Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. And it says this, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. So that tells me that the blessing of God is not just things that intermittently happen to us. The blessing is bigger than that. The blessing of God is actually upon us. So what that means is wherever we go, the blessing goes as well. Some people think if I go over there, I'll be blessed. If I go over there, I'll be blessed. No, no, no. Wherever you go, you'll be blessed because you are a carrier of the blessing of God. It's kind of like a coat that you wear. Wherever you go, you're a carrier of the blessing of God. It's not dependent upon your circumstances. It's not dependent on where God sends you. You are a carrier of the blessing of God. Now, notice this. It says the blessing of Abraham has come upon the Gentiles. So what that means is the Bible says in Romans that us Gentiles have been grafted into the family line of Abraham. So that means some of the promises that God speaks over Abraham, they're actually relevant for us today, even though we're Gentiles. Through Christ are actually relevant for us today. And so I want to look at the initial call of Abraham right now. Some of you would know this, the initial call of him when God actually called him out to follow him. And it's actually found in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. So I'm going to read Genesis. So we're looking at a bit of scripture this morning before we start preaching. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3 says this. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation and I will bless you and make your name great and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So right there, God says, this is a promise for you, Abraham. Abram at the time, changed his name later. This is a promise for you and for your descendants. But through Christ, we've been grafted into that family line as well. So promises that are relevant for him are actually relevant for us as well. And that's called the blessing. So there's things that he promises there that we can expect to come out into our lives because we are blessed. The first thing that he actually says is this. He says in verse 2, he says to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. I will make you into a great nation. Now, that's a big deal for him because he and his wife were barren and unable to have children. And he's saying to him, I will make from you a great nation. So he's basically telling them they're going to actually have children and they're going to create a nation. But the Bible also says we've been grafted into that family line. So not only is he talking about natural born children, he's actually talking about spiritual born children as well. He's actually talking about us. So the first thing that the blessing gets you, the first thing that the blessing rolls out into your life is number one, progeny, or another way of putting it, spiritual children. Now, it's interesting, a number of the things he talks about here are actually things I've spoken about in our church quite regularly, and they're themes right throughout the scripture. So I'm not going to dive too deep on some of these because I've spent a bit of time on that in our life and in our church as well. And here is one of those topics, and he's talking to him about spiritual children as well. So he's talking to us about that. What does that mean? It means that we can believe to be soul winners and see people come into the kingdom of God through us. That there are some people who find it easy and natural to lead people to Christ, but not just for those. God wants to use every single one of us to see people come into the kingdom of God. You might be here and saying, well, I'm barren. It's not easy for me. I haven't seen people come to Christ. Well, I've got good news for you today, friend. You're a carrier of the blessing of God. And a promise to you is that a God will make of you a great nation. Not just evangelists, not just people who go around are good at preaching the gospel. God can use every single one of us to see people come into the kingdom of God. And the number one way that happens is our willingness to open our mouths. I'm a big believer that God is constantly bringing across our path people who are open and need to know about him. And all we need to do is take our eyes off our little world, keep our eyes around us and be willing to talk to people. And if we're willing to talk to people and share our faith, we'll be amazed at the amount of people that are prepared and ready to receive the gospel. One of the things I've learned is I've known a number of people who are what I call evangelists, and they see people come to Christ all the time. But the interesting thing about people who are very evangelistic is that they never shut up. Like they're constantly talking about their faith. One of those people is an evangelist who I'd like to one day bring to our church. I think you'd love him. His name is Tim Hall. And I've known Pastor Tim for probably nearly 20 years. And there's been many times I've been with him. And the thing about Tim, he likes talking in general, but he loves talking to strangers especially. And so it's actually really hard. If you want to have private time with Tim, you got to go somewhere where there's no other people, because he's forever interjecting and talking to people all around him. But that's in his nature. He wants to talk to people because he wants to see who God is working on and see who he can share his faith with. I remember one time he was with, I picked him up at the airport and I'm walking to the car and there's someone over in the other aisle getting their bags and putting it in the car. He's walking down saying, "How you doing, sir? Good to see you. Hope you're doing well. How's your family?" I'm thinking, you don't even know this person. But his willingness to talk and share is basically he's trying to see whether someone is willing to talk to him and willing to actually receive the gospel. For some of us, that means we need to come out of our personality, come out of what we're focused on, and lift up our eyes to see who God is doing. There's plenty of times I'll be walking around the school and just walking out there, just chatting, and every so often there's a divine appointment. Every so often there's someone who's struggling in their faith. Every so often there's someone that when I just go out and start talking to, they will start talking to me. There was someone even recently that was, I was over there about to do a presentation to some new families in our school. And when I was over there, there was a lady, she saw me, she pulled me aside and she started talking to me because she knew that I was a pastor and she wanted to talk to me. And she was struggling with her faith and wanted to know if she could visit our church. She goes, "Is your church a friendly church?" I said, "Of course, King's Church is a friendly church. We'd love for you to come and check it out." And it was like, I was just going about my business and opportunities come. Would have been funny if she had to pull me aside. I said, "Listen, I don't have time. I've got to go and do this." Might have missed that opportunity. Every single one. God wants to make of us a spiritual nation. Maybe you here are saying, "Well, that's never happened to me. I have never seen someone come to know Christ through me." Well, I've got good news for you. God spoke to a barren couple and said of them, he will make a spiritual nation. And he can do the same of every single one of us here as well. The second thing that he says is this. He says, "I will make you into a great nation and then I will bless you. I'll bless you." I spoke about this last time. When a person of that culture at that time heard that phrase, "I will bless you," they would have received that to mean material increase in life and provision. If you look at the life of Abraham after this point, the Bible said he became exceedingly prosperous. And then his children understood that part of the blessing of God was to do with the fact that God will actually provide. So the second thing you can believe for is actually the provision of God. Now, the awesome thing is this, the provision of God, because we're Christian, we're carriers of the blessing of God. The provision of God is not dependent on our circumstances. That God will actually provide for us in spite of some of the circumstances going around for us, going around us. I've had so many times where God has provided for me miraculously in ways that I actually did not expect. The Bible says in Proverbs that the blessing of the Lord, not the blessing of the devil or the blessing of the world, the blessing of the Lord attracts wealth and he adds no sorrow to it. So that means as a carrier of the blessing of God, even in times when you feel like you're stretched and you don't know where other provision's coming from, God will draw provision into your life because you're a carrier of the blessing of God. God has tested me in this area so many times. And it's funny, sometimes you need to have finance removed to be tested in that area. And I remember my first year of Bible college, I went to Bible college and I felt God say to me, "I don't want you to work while you're here." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, you've got to provide for me." And I don't believe putting God to the test and that sort of thing. But there is a line, you know. And I said to God, I said, "Listen, I'm going to go out by faith." And my finances were so tight that I couldn't even, that year, I could pay my board and I can pay my fees, but that was it. I couldn't even go to the Coke machine, put a dollar in and get a Coke out of it. And the other thing was we had to believe God for our laundry. And so we had to, coin operated a washing machine and dryer and that sort of thing. And so I had to believe God for that. Lord, I will, I'm here and I'm willing to sacrifice. But my line is this. I said, if I have to re-wear a pair of dirty underwear, I said, that is it. I'm going back home. I said, that's my life. Now, I know some of you think that's fine that you can wear it four times, inside out, back to front, that sort of thing. But I didn't want to go there. Lord, I need the money for the washing machine. And I just didn't want to do a hand wash or anything like that. And so that was my line. Well, it's incredible the amount of times that year that God supernaturally provided for me the finance for the laundry. It was only $3.60 a week. The laundry or provided me with underwear. I remember one time my laundry hamper was overflowing. I was down to my last pair of underwear and I thought, God, you know, and my thing is I don't do hints. I don't tell people I need money. I just keep it to myself. And so I said, Lord, I said, I'm going to have to do a hand wash. And I said, if I do a hand wash, that's it. I'm going home. And so I picked up my hamper and I walked over to the college laundry. And as I walked there, I bumped into a friend of mine. His name was Tony. And he said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm going to go do a hand wash of this laundry. Now, I don't validate what he said. This is just a testimony. This is what he said to me. This is not what I believe. But I said, I'm going to do a hand wash. And he said to me, poh, that's women's work. And he pulls out a $5 note and gives it to me. I said, oh, praise God. So then I was able to do that load. There was another time I was going to go to Melbourne to visit my family. I'd bought the ticket many months before, but on the day that I'm supposed to leave, I'm financially strapped. I'm down to my last pair of underwear. My hamper's overflowing. And I was saying, Lord, you know, if I go down to Melbourne and I've still got dirty underwear, that's it. I'm not coming back to Sydney to go to Bible college. I'm just going to stay there. And I remember right at that time, I got a phone call and it was from a mate of mine. He was a mate who lived in Melbourne, but he rang me up and he said, hey, Ben, I'm in Sydney for the day. Do you want to catch up? I said, sure. And so he came over to see me and he's, you know, he's quite wealthy, but I wasn't going to ask him. It was between me and God. And so he said, I said, what do you want to do? He goes, I want to go shopping. Can you show me to this local shopping centre? I said, sure. And so we drove to the local shopping centre. And then once we got in there, I thought to myself, great, he's going shopping and I'm down to my last pair of underwear. And he goes over to the ATM and gets some money out. He comes over to me and he shakes my hand. And inside my hand, I can feel some paper. And have you ever heard of the phrase cold, hard cash? Well, that day it wasn't cold, hard cash. It was warm and soft and lovely. And I felt it, and he put $100 in there. I said, praise God. I walked over to the Kmart and picked up a pack of Rios. It was called 7 Days in Rio. I thought I better get a week's worth. And grabbed it. And then later on, I went to the airport, went home to Melbourne. My mum picked me up, and I sat in the front seat of the car. She reaches over the back, and she goes, I thought you might need these. Got a pack of three and threw it on my lap. Had it pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And one of the things I've learned is that even if I can't see where it's coming from, because I'm a carrier of the blessing of God, God will provide for me. God is a provider. His name is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees and provides, not El Tightwad or El Stingy. Amen? And he will take care of you. And there's someone here and you're saying, I need this provision. I haven't been unwise, but I don't know where it's coming from. I'm here to let you know you are a carrier of the blessing of God and God will provide for you. The third thing that it says is this. It says, I will bless you. And then God says to Abram, I will make your name great. I'll make your name great. So God's talking to a man and he says to a man, I'll make your name great. Now we know we want to make his name famous and make his name great, but it doesn't actually say that. It says he's talking to a man and says, I will make your name great. The third thing that the blessing of God brings to our lives is actually promotion. Promotion. God has no problem in promoting his people. Sometimes we think, oh, you know, don't promote me, you know, it's not about me. But the reality is there are times when God will elevate us and put us in position because he actually wants people to know more about him. And so God is a God who wants to promote his people so that we could be the influencers in society that he's actually called us to be. The Christian walk is not just a private walk that I keep to myself and have a secular sacred divide. No, no, no. God wants us to live for him all the time and he wants to use his people out into the marketplace and out in society and in the community to be an influence, for him. But the thing is this, God's way of us getting promotion is not man's way. And very often, in man's way of getting promotion is to shade the lines of integrity, is to actually do things a little bit dodgy, is to sometimes lack honesty and integrity. I really struggle to watch the TV show Survivor. And the reason why I struggle to watch the show Survivor is because it's almost like you cannot win without some point lying or at some point having to deceive someone in order to get ahead. But the reality is life is actually not an episode of Survivor. And as Christians, we don't actually have to live like that to get ahead. The God himself will actually promote us. The story, you all know our current prime minister, and he's a Pentecostal, and he goes to a church in Sydney. And last year, and I know this for a fact, this is a true story, he was at church one Sunday, and his pastor, who's an ACC pastor, his pastor was preaching on the topic of Moses being the reluctant leader. And as he was preaching on that, Scott Morrison was in there and felt God speak to him and say, "You're going to be the Prime Minister of Australia." Now, in the week preceding, obviously, there was leadership issues there. Peter Dutton was challenging and trying to take out Malcolm Turnbull. By the way, this is not a political diatribe I'm saying. I realise we have people of different political persuasions in this place. So this is just a testimony. And so he is there and he's in church and he felt God say, "You're going to be the Prime Minister." After church, he grabs his pastor and says, "Can I talk to you?" They go into the pastor's office. He said, "I feel God saying, I'm going to be the Prime Minister of Australia. Could you pray for me?" So right there, the week before he becomes Prime Minister, Scott Morrison gets on his knees and his pastor prays for him to become the leader of Australia. What happens is that week, obviously, there was a leadership spill initiated by Peter Dutton. And so at that point, the leadership was made vacant. And so then Scott Morrison was able to challenge for that vacant leadership position, and he actually won the position to be the Prime Minister. Interestingly enough, he was not the one who sabotaged Malcolm Turnbull. He was not the one with any blood on his hands. Some people will say you will never be able to ascend to the top job without some blood on your hands. And most of the prime ministers before him, that was the truth. But as a man of God, he understood that is not God's way to do things. And he guarded his integrity, and no one could stop the promotion of him ascending to the highest office in the land. I'm here to let you know that God's promotion for your life is God's way, not the world's way. Number of years ago, I wasn't sure. I was praying about our future and what God was calling to do. And we really felt that God was calling us to be senior ministers. And so I was praying about it. I was looking at my options. And one of my options was that I could plant a church. Now, I was didn't really want to plant a church. The main reason being was that I had been an itinerant minister and preached all around Queensland. And I just felt, you know, people had opened up their churches to me, and I was known as someone who comes and helps the local church. And I felt awkward if I started a church that people from churches I'd preached at want to come and join it. I just felt a little bit weird about that. And also too, when you become a minister, you sign up to a code of conduct. And the code of conduct is basically that whenever you do a new work, you don't approach anyone from the old work or from another work to come and join you, that you start afresh. And so I remember at the time thinking about it, and I was talking to a mate of mine who'd planted some churches. And I said to him, I said, "I'm thinking of planting a church. What's your advice?" He says, "Right, when you figure out where you want to go, text everyone you know in that city and invite them to come and join your church." I said, "What?" I said, "Even people who go to other churches?" He says, "Yes." He says, "How else are you going to gather a crowd unless you do that?" And I said, "Well, I'm not, if I plant a church, I wouldn't be doing it that way." He goes, "Well, how are you going to succeed if you're going to?" And I said, I just can't go there. I don't think God's way is to lie and to compromise and manipulate in order to get promotion for my life. And I thought, I'm just not going to go down that track, and decided that there's no way that I'm going to do that. And I knew other people who did that, and they prospered for a season. But at the end of the day, the Bible says about Jabez, the reason why he was blessed was because he was more honourable than his brothers. If you want to be blessed, you've got to be honourable. You can't just say the Lord's blessing me and not be honourable. God's way is always the highway. Amen? And God's got promotion for your life. And you might think, "Well, how am I? Everyone else is doing this and everyone else is doing that." I'm here to let you know you don't have to, because the blessing of God is on you. We are a church planting church. Our plan is next year that we will plant another church in that wasteland called Logan. And we're going to go there, but we're going to do it the right way. So I'm not going to be approaching all the people I know in the churches around there. I know a few and say, "Hey, why don't you come and join us?" Because I signed a document at the start of my ministry saying I wouldn't conduct myself in that unethical way. But we don't have to compromise that way, because I know the blessing of God is on us and God will help us anyway. You don't have to lie or violate commitments in order to grow your ministry. Amen. God's promotion for us, he was more honorable than his brothers. The next thing he says is this. He says, and I will make your name great. And then he says, and then he goes on to say, I'll bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. Whoever curses you, I will curse. Could you imagine right there being Abraham? Abraham, I'm going to pray a blessing on you. Get ready. I am going to make of you a great nation. Oh, thank you, Lord. We've always wanted children. And I will bless you, provide for you. Oh, thank you, Lord. I will make your name great. Oh, that's too much. I will bless those who bless you. Yes, bless everyone else as well. And whoever curses you, I will curse. Curse me? Who's going to want to curse me? Have you ever been blessed? Being blessed doesn't mean you won't be cursed. Being blessed does not mean you won't be persecuted. But the promise of the Lord to you is this, that even if you are persecuted, God's still got your back. He'll stay care. 1,000 may fall at one side, 10,000 at the other, but it's not going to come and it's not going to touch you. Every tongue that rises against you, God himself will condemn. That the protection of God is actually on us. The Christian life is not a safe life. It's not the life where I've got in control of everything and I've got all my protections in place. There are times when he calls us to walk on the water. There are times when he calls us to walk by faith. There are times when he calls us to walk in situations like walking through the valley of the shadow of death, where it looks like that we might